Great and mighty things are still taking place. And only the tender in heart and the pure in heart, only the sweet and lovely in heart are the ones that knows anything about it. And the rest of them are just around, and that's all. Let's turn over to 141. Times I like to take a little taste of olive oil. Kind of helps to lubricate the system and the throat. Today I'd walked into my wife's office a few minutes, and I reached to get some oil to lubricate my throat just a little bit. And I saw that it was the oil that we'd brought from Israel, from Jerusalem, where Jesus fed the multitude. And there along the shores of Galilee, I've just been talking to Betty about the gospel and feeding people, helping the needy. And it was as though immediately the Lord had said to me, I'm able, I'll multiply the fishes and the loaves. For it had on there concerning the fishes and the loaves. Most people that you meet in the world are not a part of this. They have cut themselves off from God, in that every man and woman is a sovereignty of their own. Therefore, they have taken their sovereignty to do their thing in life and to be just what they want to be and to think as they want to think and to have a disposition as they desire to have their disposition. Therefore, they're totally cut off. But then there are a few in the world, as the terms is used, few there be that find it, that have surrendered their sovereignty and surrendered their spirits and surrendered their disposition to be one with Christ, that they might all together be one with Him. And those, of course, are the beloved bride of Christ and the body of Christ, the ones who have eternal life and the ones that have no reservation of heart as to human desire. These are they that live forever, that have eternal riches, shall come to one mind and one accord. That mind, I say so often, is the mind of Christ, and that accord is to be about the Father's business. A building that I hope will be real valuable to the brotherhood and for world evangelism. Tomorrow, if everything goes well, I hope to be able to dry it in. I was hoping to get the shingles on, but most likely we won't. Probably get it dried in, and there's a good possibility that we may get some felt on it, something to take care of it, or whatever. I realize that if I do this, I'm probably going to have to push things a little bit, try to get started tomorrow, and I don't know, somehow if you just kind of drift along and let everybody drift along, you just don't hardly ever get done. It just seems like you never get done with it. Somebody has to take the oversight that's concerned and get behind it and kind of push things a little bit. And when you do that, you have some to get upset with you and they'll leave, but you have a few that will just kind of swallow down and readjust and shake the spirits off that they know really is causing the lethargy. And they'll get in there, and then in a little while you have the job done. But if you don't do that, you have spirits that they get on one, they get on another, and then they get to where they're unconcerned and just kind of drift around. And appreciate the honesty of Brother Darrell. Brother Darrell was telling me yesterday, said, Brother Pike, said, we got to get up and go until you're gone, and then all the get up and go is gone. Said, we don't. After that, said, I'll just be honest with you. It seems like we just lose it. And I appreciate that, you know, that honest confession. But nevertheless, we're going to try, if we can, to get it dried in tomorrow. And it'll be a great load off of me. It has been there for a long, long time. Some of the brethren got zealous, and they decided that they were going to build the house. And like children, they went just a little ways, and then they quit. And they left off with it. And A big hole stayed out there for a long, long time. For many months, just a big hole, just dangerous for the children. Finally, we got a foundation in it, put some bolts and whatever in, which made it even more dangerous for the children, and it stayed out there for many months. One day, I just began to pray and tell the Lord that we was going to build it. And when everybody backed off and left it alone, I went to him and I said, Lord, they've tried to build it, and you see that they couldn't do anything. They stopped. They couldn't get anywhere with it. And I said, now, all these buildings I built by faith out here, I've asked you to do it, and not one of them has failed to go up. Not one of them has failed to be paid for. And out of the hundreds of thousands of dollars, nothing is owing. Everybody's up to date, and everything is reasonable. I said, but all the brethren put together with their efforts couldn't build this building. They all backed off and left it, and it's a big hole, and it's just something to jeopardize the lives of the children. And I went to God and prayed. This is no discrediting to you. All of you tried it. I have a man over to my right over here. When I said that, that didn't set well with him at all. His problem is he just never has really got filled with the Spirit of God. And he didn't like it at all, because I said, Dad, he wanted to take a little different look. And I felt it boomerang around the room. But I said it for that purpose. That's why I said it. I said it so it would boomerang around the room. I love to show up the evil spirits in service. I love to say things that will show up the evil spirits, because they so cunningly hide. See, men and women who are in the carnal mind are enemies with God. And they ease into these carnal minds, and they stay in them day after day, and they live on the campground, and they do their evil things, and they practice their wrong, and they watch the evil television shows, and they read their magazines, and they go after their sports, and they do their frolics, and they pull their little deals, and they think nobody don't know nothing about it. But God shows it up through discernment. And I love to say things that will just make that old hoary head of the devil stick out and make him rise up like he did in the days of Jesus. You know? And then I love to throw the net and catch every one of those in the net and bind it. And as the Bible tells us that when we throw our net out for a great catch, we draw it in and then we sit down and pick out everything that we don't want and throw it back in, and we keep that which is good. So I like to just throw the net over that I'm not going to use, and just throw it all back in. I drag it off to the side and just throw it right back into the deep, put it into the bottomless pit. So then a man, he didn't like that, but it was true. I stayed away for months to make sure that they couldn't do it. For months, I let it go. And nobody did it. And then one day I went to God and I said, Lord, that building has been there, and I've had to pray and believe God to keep grown-ups from getting killed, to keep little children from being hurt. And I said, mothers don't watch them and don't care and just let them roam everywhere. Constantly I have to pray for you to protect them. That's right, mothers. That's exactly right. Not exaggerated. That is exactly right. Some of you never know where your children are, and for years you haven't known until they come in at night or midnight or whenever. But anyway, when it was thoroughly seen that nobody cared and nobody could and nobody would, and if somebody could and if somebody would and if somebody did, I'd like for you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. There ain't a one of you in here can raise your hand. Not a one of you. Woman or man alike. Not a one of you. If you can, I challenge you to do it. If I'm wrong, as the feller thought, raise your hand. Let it be known. So I went to God, and I said, Lord, I said, they can't do it. No more than they can support this, and no more than they can keep it up. And men go around continually, and women, and they talk about Bethlehem, and they talk about this being theirs, and and how this belongs to them, and they've hardly give anything, and you can't hardly get them to do nothing. Some of them have hardly lifted a hand for anything, and what little that they give is not even enough to average out as an average giver in an average church somewhere. It's so, sister, I know you're grinning at me, you know, just like you're going right along with me and you want me to think you are, but you're not, because you've done just like some of the others. But at any rate, when it was thoroughly proven that it could not be built, that building had great significance. You know, it's easy to build a building if you've got money. If you've got money, all you got to do is just build the building. But even if you got the skill, if you don't have the money, you can't build a building. So I went to God in prayer. And you know how we built a building? The Bible said, lest the Lord build the building, they that build labor in vain. And unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman riseth but in vain. And so then God stopped all the boasting. They were boasting about what they could do and what they were going to do, because they looked upon what had already been done. But when they tried to do it, they found out they wasn't the ones that had done what had already been done, that it was Christ, and that most of it had been done before they ever got here. So then I said, Lord, in that they can't build it, it's for sure that I can't build it, because I don't have the skill and I don't have the money and I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability, but we built all of these others by faith in God. And I want you to hear my prayer, and I want you to build this building. And if you build this building, I'll give you the glory for building this building, $1 million building. I'll give you the glory for building it just like you built the others. And I'll realize and recognize that you built the building. So, brethren, he built the building. And what you couldn't do and what I couldn't do, he did. So he built the building. And they'll dry it in tomorrow. They'll probably finish drying it in tomorrow. For which I thank God, he not only built the building. Somebody would say, well, I know a lot of folks build buildings. I do too. When they build it, they borrow hundreds of thousands of dollars. But that building don't have any money borrowed on it. We built a building by faith. So then, God helping us and God working with us, he built the building. Not only that, brethren, but he has done all the rest of it. And sad to say that you and I have been his biggest problems while he was trying to do it. For not only did he build Bethlehem and pay for it, but he had to take care of me and you and all the stragglers while he was doing it. And that was the bad part. So I thank God for his glory and for his blessings. And I don't discredit you as brethren, because there are some conscientious brethren that have sincerely helped me and sacrificed and believed that God would do it, and if not attempted to take the glory to themselves or to be foolish. And there are some sisters that have done the very same thing. But there are so many of you that didn't, brothers and sisters alike. And even some of you, as Paul said, that are false brothers and false sisters, that do nothing but reproach us and leech and mumble and grumble as they did against Moses, until finally your flesh, as the earth that you're made of, as was in the days of Moses, has just about opened up and swallowed you up through your gullible desire and your fussing and feuding. And it just about ain't no more of you. But I praise God tonight for those that love the Lord and those that have tried to confederate with me in a sincere effort toward Christ. And I trust that you will continue to do it. In building these buildings, I had to supplement many people, even this church, the ones that worked on this church, there were some that I supplemented continually for years as we built these buildings. But the Lord was good to us. He has done a good job. There's other things that need to be done. And I was sitting here tonight. I know you're standing. Forgive me. If you're tired, you can sit down. Others that helped me build. Tonight I was sitting here over here in the chair and the Lord spoke to me. And that's why you saw me call the little boy and send him out for Jimmy. He spoke to me and I told the little boy to tell Jim to come up, and Jim did come. And I told Jimmy that the Lord had spoke to me. He must be ready for that foundation back of the building down here, back of the multi-purpose building. And Jimmy said, "That's really something, Brother Pike," said, "this very day," said, "I was talking to the man that we discussed quite a long while ago to get everything ready so we could go ahead and pour that foundation. Was I would love to pour it, because I think during the camp meeting that some of the feeding that we could do, if we had that poured down there, it would prove as a great ramp. We could clean it off, make it real nice, set some tables around about, and people could go down there right on the cement ramp and they could have their tables, and we could help feed them there in camp meeting. And in the event it was just a few, David, Paul, and the twins have got a snack bar, got a concession stand, that is. And if it's a matter of a group that wants to talk a little or visit or something to discuss about the work of the Lord, we've got the little snack bar of the cafe that's back in the bottom of the building down here. It's all ready to go. We should be starting the store within a few days if nothing happens. And it's all ready to go to where you can go back there. You'll be able to get a milkshake and a hamburger and whatever. But I said that to say this. Camp meeting is not but about 10 days away, which to me is kind of shocking, because I thought I had a little more time before camp meeting. But we still have this place out here in the wooded area that we were supposed to do something about, and I've not had any help. I've not had any volunteers. It's utterly amazing that I have as many families as I do here and as many men as I do here, and they have as many excuses. Though the Bible says that thou art inexcusable, my men and women have hundreds and thousands of excuses why they never come to give me a helping hand as a rule, unless it's just run out in for an hour or two, you know, and maybe not that long. And then during that time, they just fellowship a little bit and then off they go. And they never really come in and really give me a hand. It's real sad. I thought today there was a few that was kind of working today, not working that much. Some of them just kind of piddle around. They really don't work that much. But some of them will nail a little bit, saw a little bit, or do a little something through the day. But I noticed so many today and so many coming in and out that never give a helping hand, not at all. So it's really something, you know, that people won't give a helping hand. I feel a man's spirit to my left here considering me. You might do well to consider you what I've already contributed to you. It might be well if you did that before you consider me. Might do good. You didn't know that God knew your thoughts, but it might do you good to think in that direction. Ever so slight are your thoughts, but not too slight but what God knows what you're thinking. You might consider that part of it. Sometimes we're only doing what we justly ought to do, let alone what we have opportunity to do. So then, in that it is like that, it's really baffling sometimes. It's really amazing sometimes how that can be. But brothers and sisters, there's one thing for sure. Though I tell you over and over, and though I am a constant reminder to you over and over that you do these things, Yet you don't make any change year after year. Yet you claim Bethlehem and the benefits of it and enjoy the benefits of it. And you feel that you're part of this worldwide evangelism. But I can assure you that you're not. And I can assure you that you do not have any reward. The only reward you have is the benefits that you are already getting. You're already drawing benefits that you don't deserve. And the only benefit you have is that you're getting. And if you don't watch out with what little you do, even when you're supplemented, you won't have anything left, because you won't even be worthy of your supplement, let alone something above your supplement. And especially with the benefits that are added to you on the campground. So then it would do well if you would stop and think. Teachers and all, school teachers and all. It would be well if you would stop and think and stop and consider, because if the Bible said little flock, and if the Bible said few there be that find it, and if the Bible said straight is the gate and narrow is the way, then that means there's going to be a whole lot of folks that's going to be mistaken and going to be deceived when it comes right down to making it in. So I tell you these things, and yet I know that you're not going to do it. I know that you're not. But for the sake of those that are, and for the sake of those that will, and for the sake of those that has, I say these things that you might continue, that you might not lose your reward, but that you might receive a full reward. For Paul said, I seek to present you to God without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. God has blessed us in our world outreach in many ways. Mitch was informing me that we're getting mail, if I make no mistake, is it from 38 countries, Mitch? From 38 countries. And even though, he said, Brother Pike, we are touching hearts of lives and people in more countries than that, or we're getting into more countries than that, he said, yet we're getting a response from this many countries. We have received mail from WRNO, our world outreach, that supposedly goes even as far as Russia. We have received mail, as I've said, as far as England. And then we went on another station, as you very well know, which was WWL, and we've got tremendous response from it. We're still on KASA out in Phenix City, Arizona, and we're still on Big Gun in Atlanta. Though we did cut down some on the Big Gun station, we're still on there. And we get response from both of those stations. And we went on, as we said, the Caribbean station, which is supposed to also reach into Russia, which is not a shortwave station, but a regular AM outreach. And we have already received mail from that, from the islands. And they said that they were grateful to get our program. And then the station that we went on in Africa that supposedly reaches 332 million people, and I believe, what is it, 30 countries or more, I can't remember. Whatever it is, we've already received mail from there. So we are on the air there. We've received mail from either Guinea Equatorial or Guyana Equatorial. I don't know which it is. But anyway, we've received mail from that station. That's supposed to go around the world also. And the one that is the Caribbean station, the one that is in Africa that we receive mail from, now that's equatorial, isn't it? And the one we receive mail from in Africa, that's equatorial. The one, the Caribbean, I can't remember what that was. It was out of the islands, but we received mail from it. But anyway, Africa, I found out today, the station contacted us with some letters today, and I found out that that station that is in Africa not only is reaching the African continent, but it is also going into Germany. They've got response from Germany, and it's also going into England. They've got response from England and a number of places in Europe. They're getting response from. So this means that the Lord is helping us to hurl the gospel around the world through the printed page of more than 32 foreign languages. And or more than every major language in the world as far as Mitch informs us. And with the radio station and with what little TV work that we're doing now, because we're not doing very much TV work. We was doing quite a bit of TV work on a number of stations scattered abroad. But we're not doing that much on TV. I'd felt to kind of draw in. Our contracts had run out with some of the people, and I decided to stop because we didn't have the consistency and the concern that I felt we should have in that direction. So I moved into the direction that I felt the most concern in. Whereas there has been a kind of a reoccurrence, as you might say, or a moving or a desire that's been moving toward our video a little more. And even though I was really disappointed in the tent meeting to the extent that we didn't have any of our professional video going, yet I wasn't disappointed to the extent that God sent somebody out of Louisiana and recorded. Let me say this. I feel that by that is the proof that God does want these things recorded, to send somebody all the way out of Louisiana to record it. To me, that's a proof that he does want a recording of it. So it must be something that is wrong on our part and that we have these problems continually and are not able to record it. Either we're not looking well to our going, or there's something that we're not doing. I don't know what it is, but I feel that one of the things is the lack of concern that it has been in the past. Not altogether, because there has been some times that there has been some concern. But it's so easy for you and me in any office, and I see this with a regularity, to be concerned about our house and our land and our car and our home and our finance and our family and our desire, and just be half-hearted toward God's things. You know, and there's always a line in the street. So there's been a little concern, I can tell it, a little reviving in that direction. And God has begun to show more concern toward that. Brother Mike had been talking to Brother Ed Bowles. He said he'd been thinking about us. Seems to think a lot of the brethren. And Ed said he was going to set his station in motion and pretty quick. And then he's going to set it in motion. He said he'd had to have his satellites, if everything went well, by the time that we got ready to launch our world program. And said he'd like to be a part of it. Whereas Ed told me when he come here to conference with me that he was going to have 3 satellites, one on either side of the world and one straight up to where he could reach the entire world. And Ed informed us of a brother that's on the West Coast in Santa Ana, California, I believe it is. Somewhere in that area, he already has several satellites. And Ed talked as though we might be able to do some TV work on his satellites. I don't think it costs but about $3,700 an hour, is it, Mike? $3,700 an hour, which would be an excellent price for a little Bethlehem. I guess in this last meeting, I don't know whether we spent this much or not, but from $7,000 to $15,000, which meant we could have had 5 hours on satellite for that much money. And usually you run about a 30-minute spot, so that means you could have had 10, maybe 10 programs that would have went to the entire world. So to me, that is nothing less than excellent. We paid about $4,000 a better just to the WWL radio station per month. So I'd like for you to think these things over, because as I say, many of you suppose that you're a part of it when you're not part of it, and many of you will never be a part of it. You're too self-willed. You'll never submit your spirit. But then there are those that are genuinely a part of it. And these, of course, are the ones that my concern is toward in the sense of communication, though the rain is on the just and the unjust. And I want to be a blessing to you and help you regardless to whether you do anything or not. If you go to hell, well, that's your business, but I'd like to do all I can to help you along the way. Brother Gerald is supposed to leave Monday. If everything goes well, he's already loaded with a load of clothing from Mexico. So if nothing happens, he'll be leaving Monday to take another load of clothing into Mexico. And you pray, I think Vernon's going to go down with him, and you pray that they'll be all right as they travel. They may even stop by and see Rick while they're down there. I don't know whether they'll go into the Del Rio area or turn into Laredo, down by Laredo, Texas, or go in by Matamoros. I don't know which one they'll do. But just pray that God will help them and that we'll be able to do something for Jesus. All right, there's a lot more that we could say and a lot more things that we're concerned about. But I say these as a constant reminder to you. I have asked Brother Taylor to reproduce the radio tapes or the tapes that he has back years ago that hasn't been reproduced. And he tells me when he talks to the radio men, they said, if you want them reproduced, reproduce them yourself. So I've got to have a talk with them and find out why that this is like that. But it's for sure that I have asked him to do it numbers of times, and so far I haven't got any results whatsoever. I had asked some of them to work a little late with me tonight on the building, but they left me. And I just called the rest of them on down. I asked them to work pretty fairly late and then come on into church, and they could get here by time for the preaching, just to help me get that. I usually never keep people out of church, as a rule, never for anything. And if I do ask them once in a while, very rare, to stay an hour or two and maybe get in for the time for the preaching or whatever, it's because of an emergency in the sense of protecting God's investment. I've never found anything that we ever done by staying out of church as a rule, unless God was in it, that ever held up. It always caused me trouble. Now I'm going to let you sit down just a minute. As I said, if you feel to sit down, you can sit down. So, I have a number of things that I need some assistance in. A number of things. I want you to work with me, if you will. If you don't feel led to, that's perfectly all right. We don't desire your help at all if you don't feel led to. But those that have a leading to ally with us and to be a comrade in what we're doing, then I want your help. If it ain't but five people that comes to men's meeting, I want your help. That is, if it's those that come with a desire to help. The others, if there's 50 of you that come that don't want to help, I don't want your help. I don't want your help at Little Bethlehem. I don't want your help in the men's meeting. I don't want your help in digging. I don't want your help in nailing or sawing. I don't want your help on the platform. I don't want your help, period. I want to try to help you and be a blessing to you, but I don't want your help at all. But those that want to love the Lord and walk upright and be clean, that want to help, it's in their heart. God has put it in their heart to help. I want your help. I've got a place for you, but I tell you in the name of the Lord, the others I do not want any fellowship with whatsoever in the sense of you offering to help me. I do not. It'll be thorns in my side and pricks in my side if I spare any of you to the work, and I don't want it. I'll help you. You're welcome to come to church, and I'll preach to you and do what I can to help you. The rain's on the just and the unjust, but I don't want you in my operation anyway unless you're clean and holy. The Bible teaches that they that handle the vessels of God should be holy, and I don't want you to mess with them at all unless you are right. Because whatever you nail down, whatever you saw, whatever ditch you dig, I'll have to do it all over. It'll just be something that sooner or later it'll show up like a sore thumb, and I'll have to tear half of the building down to get to the bad place, so to speak. And I think about this that we built across here. They built this well on up here and had it fortified, and I had to go tear the whole thing down because it wasn't right. So then, I don't want your help. I'd rather have Gideon's few, as God sent them all back at the water and just kept the proven few. I'd rather have Gideon's few, and that way we'll get the job done, because God is the majority anyway. And that way God gets the glory. As a matter of fact, God does that a lot of times. so that he can get the glory, because if you have too many, then they don't give the glory to God. So you be sure that you don't offer your service if you're not walking holy and clean and upright, and if God hasn't put it in your heart, as he did Bezalel's, to work with me. So then, I don't want the offering of the wicked. It is my desire that the wicked bring me nothing, nothing at all. I just want that which God gives to me that's holy and sanctified, that I may build something that will last, and that throughout eternity. As I've said before, for a while here, it died down to where there really wasn't anything much for you to do, because many of you didn't want to do it. The Lord stopped it off, and you didn't have anything to do. And I really didn't have anything to offer you, because we had turned our face to the field and was going into the foreign fields, having meetings abroad. And then I became real concerned about the home front, and people began to repent and ask for help and wanted us to work some more on the home front. So we turned our face again to the home front to try to do something on the home front, and some of the people began to get in work with us, and then they slacked off again and they began to do their own thing again. And in doing it, they have caused the Lord to withdraw again from them. And prosperity comes from God. I saw you folks not too long ago. Some of you just stopped on God almost altogether, and you really left me in a fix. But I prayed to God, and God sent in some extra help from the outside that brought in, multiplied thousands upon thousands of dollars. And that tided me over and took me over. And then with that, when others began to see that God was going to do it anyway, they began to loosen up. And they began to try to help again, because they saw that rather than me losing out and it caving in on me, that they were losing out and it was caving in on them. As a matter of fact, I saw where they lost out, and I saw where the whole thing caved in on them. The pillars broke down and it caved in on their heads, and God hoped me to get every one of them out from under it before it crushed them. And I also saw God working with me to the extent that he showed me that he would finish what he had started, and that he didn't need anybody, that he could do it. So many of them got afraid, and even till tonight, even till this hour, they are afraid. I've had in the last day or two a number of them that's come to me and literally pleaded to give them a place, because they felt left out, and to let them have a chance, because they had done wrong and they knew that they'd done wrong, and they were begging for a chance. So folks, when you withdraw, all you do is wind up in poverty, as many of you did, where you couldn't even pay your own bills. While others that continue to give to God and try to help God's project in coming out a day or two working with us, those continued to be blessed, and those continued to stay afloat, as we say. And God continued to heal their bodies and to help them. I don't have very many like that at Bethlehem, but the few that I do have continues to be blessed, and God continues to help them. No matter how severe the crisis is, God continues to help them. Others like to accredit to themselves that they do much, but it's the truth fact that they don't. The thing that just recently happened, though we won't have a chance to comment on it, I've taken quite a bit of time talking tonight as I did the other night, trying to get the job done. I know many don't go along with me, and many of you don't appreciate the way I'm saying it, but I'm saying it, I think, the way Jesus would say it, and saying it according to the fact that we've been a rejected stone. Bethlehem has been a rejected stone, but the Bible said the same stone that's been rejected has become the head of the corner. Well, the revelation of Jesus Christ is fast moving to the head of the corner. And this little stone will grow till it fills all of the world. And the kingdom of God will be set up for a millennium reign. As a matter of fact, it reminds me, this little shirt that I have on tonight, I felt led to wear this shirt. It's a little loud, so I put this coat, kept the coat over it, though I'm kind of sweaty. It's just a little bit loud to be wearing around, a little flashy. But I felt I was supposed to wear it tonight. It's called Joseph's Coat of many colors. And when I said millennium, that reminds me, in the back of it, there's a tag that has millennium in it. Brother, I'm sincere. I know that you don't judge me that way. And you have the most weird thoughts about me through your mind. But nevertheless, I'm sincere. I'm not mocking. I'm not just leading up to that and pulling something out. Somebody said a rabbit out of the hat. I don't believe in pulling rabbits out of the hat. All of this is a program of God. So you're not smart at all in your thoughts. But anyway, it's got millennium in the back of it. Right here on the back of it, it's got a little tag called the millennium. A question arises, who is responsible for that? The Lord Jesus. This tag came in a number of months ago through a brother. And a number of tags came in at that time, and the Lord quickened them to me, and I said something to the brother about them and the significance of them. So then the tag came in. And it is millennium. We just come back from the meeting down in Alabama, and the meeting having great significance as to the coming in of the millennium. We was talking about it and telling some brethren concerning the millennium and how it was just now coming in and what had happened concerning Mr. Sword down here. And about the time that we was under the anointing telling it, a brother walked up with a shirt and handed it to me, and there it was. I just told him it was a millennium coming in, handed me the shirt, and there was the millennium tag. Whereas the Joseph's coat of many colors represents the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you recall, the letters was cut for the revelation of Jesus Christ out of the same material right here. It might have been the same piece, I don't know. It is the same piece, out of the same material. They were cut and was placed across the platform. As a matter of fact, the letters that I'm standing looking at right now has always been out of the rainbow colors, just like you saw them under the tent. We have them right under over the gateway. I'm looking at them. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, whereas that's little Bethlehem out there. And we've always, Brother Atle and the different ones that drawn it, has always drawn this as a sunburst or as a rainbow. And then when we was in Eden and I spoke of that being the end of the old, having to do with be still and know that I'm God, then many things that we can say about it, have said about it, and desire a lot of times to say, but not finding the spiritual outlet, we usually don't do it. We wind up just speaking to a little group over here and a little group over there as the anointing affords it, or as the brethren come into a mind to receive it. But anyway, the revelation of the Lord Jesus, I'll start right here and say this, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ has always been projected as a sunburst, a rainbow, and there's much we'd like to say about that. But this shirt has to do with that, so I put it on tonight. Mr. Sword's decease has to do with that. And as the Lord said, if you don't do thus and thus, I'll bring the sword upon the land. If you do such and such, then I'll move the sword. And for sure, that has really proved out to be thus and thus. For the sword was brought across the land, the people's disobedience and foolishness, and praying, talking to God, and asking God for mercy. The sword has been lifted to bring in a millennium, and somebody said the other day to beat the sword into plowshares and to bring peace into this land. A new well of water, peace, the revelation of the Lord Jesus, the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of God. Brother John Lane receiving the flag at this time. He's fixing to get his flag to put up down in the place of Macon where the man's name is Israel and the mayor's name is Israel, and there to show the redemption of the body, and that area has to do with the restored earth coming in and the bodily part coming in back to Benjamin and a number of other things that's transpiring and taking place. Whereas, as I said, there is just so much tonight that I could say concerning these things. But having on this shirt tonight, it's Friday, it's the young folks' night, I know they're wondering why I don't let them do what they're supposed to do. But it has to do with the getting over the Jordan and the different things that has been transpiring. People who are not spiritual don't walk with the Lord. They may be babes, and being babes, they walk with the Lord in the sense that they desire the sincere milk of the Word, and the Lord is blessing them that they might grow thereby. But people that have been in the gospel for quite a long time, who have dwarfed themselves, that are not babes, really don't walk with the Lord. Now, they don't see nothing the Lord's doing, whereas Jesus said, if you're the body of the church, he said, I see always the things that my Father does. And, of course, those that are spiritual, they see things and they mention them to me. But it was yesterday, I believe it was, or just recently, that the last day or two that they dug up under the sidewalk over on the back side of the multipurpose building and almost caved it out. Whereas it's just a big ugly hole, dirty and filthy and muddy. And a number of the brethren involved in that, the little ones especially, Joshua. Noticed him out there. Joshua had a little coat on called Leon. And he was out there just as muddy as he could be. And Brother Williams had come down from the housetop. Brother Taylor was digging. And Brother Mac Dukes and some of the kids. And Brother Williams had come down to look around. And he got up onto the sidewalk. And he got just as muddy as he could be from laying around under there trying to find out where the water was coming through and that we have a leak or a seepage. And when he came out, it was very obvious what the Lord was showing, because he had been up on the housetop. He'd went down, gotten muddy, come down to Mitch's barbershop there while I was laying there with a towel over my face. And that Mitch has to do with an undertaker. And there I was laying stretched out with that over my face, as it was when they had that thing about the sun. And he came there dripping with that Georgia red mud. And immediately it was obvious that the portrayal of the vesture dipped in blood was there. Brother Branham's resurrection in the name of Williams, coming down from the lofty housetop where the capstone was going on and where the second floor had been capped off with the platform from Brother Branham's place over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. That is to say, the white tent according to his prophecy, and the cheers coming out of the tabernacle to go under there, and the dividing of the William Branham ministry and the tabernacle at the time it was there. So, in that the Eden platform was being put on as a capstone, whereas they've almost finished that now. And there Kim was, he had come down, and Kim represents that second level. Of course, he don't care too much about that height. He'll tell you in a minute. But he will go up and work with you. But he likes that second level best. And, of course, the second level was where Jesus was crucified. Going from earth, he was lifted up between heaven and earth. And there he met Satan. And the bloody vesture was there. So then coming out from under the cement, and that cement has to do with the cemetery or cemetery, and the cave as it was in that day, a tomb. Little Joshua out there crossing the Jordan. There he was in crossing the Jordan. The word Leon on his back. Being in reverse is Noel. So there he was crossing the Jordan. The digging and the opening of the tombs. And the different things was transpiring as to Kim being so muddy. And it was after that that I went up to the housetop, and I laid down on the housetop in the sunshine for just a few minutes. I'd been pretty weary from the meeting, and I laid down. I was looking straight up at the sun, and I'm not sure. I believe I had on this shirt about that time, but anyway, it had to do with the shirt and the little rainbow cap with the dove on it. And I was laying there. And while I was laying there, I closed my eyes for a few minutes. And then Kim come up. When Kim come up, he had taken the hose and washed away all of that I spoke of that had to do with the blood that was down there where Mitch was as the undertaker. And when I got to the top, or when he got to the top, the water had washed it all away to symbolize the third experience, the third heaven, and the blood coming off of the mercy seat and the resurrection of Brother Branham and the things that took place. Well, as it was a number of other things that took place that had to do with Brother Bradley, in that Brother Bradley climbed out in the middle of the pyramid on the underside, which had to do with the war in heaven right now, the IRS, and Mike Will went out over that. And he will win the favor of the law in doing it. But anyway, Mike, he was out there right in the middle of it. And then also Brother Smallwood was out there in the middle of it. And during the time that these men were there, one there and then the other there, there was a conversation on the lower level, second level, there at the doorway. And this conversation, of course, was between me and the brother that has his sign is the virgin birth. The brother, the astrologer brother, you know him, Vince, Brother Vince. Couldn't get it to register. But anyway, me and Vince was having a little talk, and of course, there was a difference in a discussion of the brethren and whatever, and concerning Brother Branham, concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that is the difference between the spoken word and the revelation. Brother Branham called that the spoken word, and the Lord, of course, called this the revelation. There was two different things. Of course, I believe God gave that to him as the spoken word. Whereas I have made the statement that the spoken word was that in the beginning was the word, and the word was spoken. And that's what it was in Genesis as the beginning, which must be evident according to these two platforms as the way they were put together in what we call the Father's house. And then I spoke of this as having to do with the end, not the beginning as is meant by the word Genesis, but the end, whereas John called the last book the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveil. The spoken word or the veil, and then, of course, the unveil. I say the veil and the spoken word in that it had to do with the word being made flesh, and in that God is a spirit, then the flesh is a veil. I want to take this coat off. I feel this a little bit too flashy, I know, to be wearing, let alone in church. But I've got hot and sweaty, and I'm going to take it off for just a few minutes. You try to understand if you can. And the thing that we're trying to establish is that as he came up, I raised up out of the brightness of the sun, and there it was. I had, for some reason, gone right up on top of the pyramid. When we was working, I wasn't doing much work, but I was up there piddling around, and I had gotten up to look at something. I wanted to look down this way to where they were welding, and I got up on top of the pyramid, and I thought no more about it until yesterday, I believe it was, and something said, go up and take a look at that. That's charred pretty bad. And I had been disturbed about it because when Daryl was welding, I noticed that they didn't get the fire out very quick, and it really bothered me. It was charring it real bad. And I thought, maybe it isn't as bad as I think. So I went up to the top of the pyramid, and when I got up there, I got on top of it, and I was looking down through there, and it was charred real bad. And I was real disappointed in it. And I felt like those pieces wasn't fitting together. So when I looked down, they wasn't fitting together. They had been cut wrong. And the only thing I had holding it was the iron. But anyway, they had done the best they could with it. I had left it just before they put those things up, hoping that they would get in there tight, because I'd stayed right with it until we got the first cross. The cross, it had great significance. I had stayed there until it fit like a glove almost. And then when I left, after they made the foil, they did such a splendid job in making the foil until I thought, well, surely after we got them up, them things will fit. Whereas I had told them that if they cut them a certain way, they would open at the top. It's a little hard for them to get a hold of, but they did open up at the top. But getting up there, I looked down through there, and I was disappointed. And Daryl had been busy this week. I hadn't been able to use him, so that made it a little bit hard on me, too. But as I looked down through there, squirming around, I wound up on the other side. So I suddenly realized I had come up one side and crossed over it and went down the other side. And then the Lord dealt with me about it. Because Kim had just a little bit before that come up on one side, and he had his head sticking over there too. He was looking down. And we kind of got our heads together, as we say. So I went down on the side Kim come up on. But it was a great thing. Things was taking place, and that with, as I say, with Mike, the war in heaven, the IRS, in that in reality the IRS is the beast, and we'll dominate the people. But and Brother Smallwood's name, his stepdad, his name being Brannon, which had to do with the meeting down yonder and had to do with Brother Smallwood coming up here and him being up there at the time of the dispute, on the underside of the pyramid. This having such great significance, we could go on and on and on in the things that we're saying, because it also relates back in the conversation with our brother, back to Brother Bill York and Brother Brother J.T. Parnell, and seeing the death of Brother Branham and the angel appearing to us down in Florida. Now, if some of you have to go, y'all just ease on out, if you will, because it's hot and uncomfortable. There's no need for you to have to sit here and listen to me. Just ease on out. And a few of these that have asked me to say something here might say a few more words to them. But anyway, even Brother Williams caught that, because he said to me, he said, Brother Pike said, don't Brother Smallwood have to do with Bill York? And I noticed here as of late, God's been dealing with Kim some, because he's asked me a number of things and it's been accurate. But I said, yeah. I said, he certainly does. As a matter of fact, I'd been thinking about the connection and when we met down yonder, how that we met down yonder and the way the thing was, which has to do with Dwight and his marriage and the trumpet and the boat and numbers of other things. But anyway, Bill is now down in Florida where the angel appeared to us there concerning Miami and Hialeah, Florida, when the ring was put on our finger. That had to do with this moment and this time. I'll go back again to bring some things together, as to say this acrylic, the only place you could get it was in Hialeah. Has to do with the rapture. You remember what we said about the fading out of the red lettering if you sat under it. But anyway, we'd have to go back and re-detail a lot of things that you've already gone on tape. So fit them all together. It is a true fact that the capstoning of the building, or the finishing of the building, which seems to have to do with tomorrow, going back to the Jews' millennium, and that Sunday is their first day of the week, tomorrow after the Sabbath, bringing the new earth, then tomorrow we'll probably be capping it off, no more than what it would take if it doesn't rain. And then that introduces something new, because with this going on for a while, bringing in the millennium, which is the tag right in here behind my neck, with that, it's like I told Jimmy tonight, that brings in some other things and has to do with this building out here that we speak of as the promenade building. Just remember that these things that we're talking about tonight, these things are not just natural things, as I have said before, not just natural things for you to hear about. You hear about these natural things, and you see these natural things, because the only way an invisible, unseen spirit, something that you can't see, something that you can't approach unto, something that you never will see, something you never have seen, and something that will never be seen by any eye, the only way that that can communicate with you or show you things is by natural things of types and shadows and allegories. So then he seeks to communicate with his children. Now you can take it in the natural like the Catholics do and make God out of beads and statures and everything else, you know, in that you can't see beyond that and see the move of God and the real life of Christ. Or you can take these natural things that I speak of as being tremendously wonderful, even as the Holy Land is to the Jews, and yet look beyond that to the world of reality and the invisible world of seeing Christ and the life. That is to say, you can have much study to cause awareness of your flesh and it amount to nothing, just a lot of intellectual learning. Or you can have this wonderful knowledge of God that step by step, it can show you, dimensionally speaking, how high the church has gone or as to what it has obtained unto, or how far along in its progress pilgrim-wise as to the stride of the church or as to the time or the season. And you can understand the spiritual significance of it and realize that all of these tangible things that you are having along the way and all of these natural things that you're seeing, that these things are only pointing to the fact that there is an invisible, eternal reality. And that when you feel like you've heard, as you do tonight with your own ears, a word or a knowledge that you've received, when you feel that way, you catalog that and put that back and you forget about it and that's all there is to it. So then that was it. You heard it, you got it, you're gone, and that's it. So that you can understand that that is not it, as I would continue to say. That is not it at all. All you did was just get a brainstorm and went off somewhere to die. But if you can say, my God, through this revelated understanding, I know where I have come to and the progressiveness of my spiritual stride and where the Spirit is at this time and season. And by knowing that, I thank God for this wonderful knowledge of Christ that has revealed it to me, even the knowledge of wonderful heavenly things. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even this heavenly treasure that's in earthen vessels. And say to yourself like this, I thank you, Lord, for it, but the invisible is still there. And we are now to this point in the invisible. And I'll wait for the next revelational step or the next stepping stone that will come my way by my intellectual comprehension to see how far the Spirit has moved tomorrow and what is the dimensional walk with God tomorrow and how close the Spirit has come to the closing of the day as far as God finishing His work to say, time shall be no more. And understand it spiritual-wise and learn the significance, and it won't just become a lot of knowledge that'll cause you to be weary, making you think you have something and know something when you don't know something as you ought to know. It'll keep you from sticking in your back pocket a book or trying to get some writings or pick up a tape or hear a sermon and run off and be vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind to know nothing. So if you are of the Spirit, you belong to the Spirit, and if you are, then you are wearing the garment of His body. And if you are not of the Spirit, then you don't belong to the Spirit. And you are just an intellectual bastard child that is reflecting the glory of God and getting an intellectual understanding of that that can never save your soul, but only bring you judgment. So I'm not going to try to go into other things tonight that I certainly would love to go into. But those few things that I've said there, it might be good if you'd ponder on it, because I have to relate back to some spiritual things to feed the spiritual people, because I have people here that know nothing about the Spirit and will never know nothing about the Spirit. It's like a blind man, a man that's blind. It's sad, but he's still blind. And those are allegoric of blind people in the spiritual world, or allegoric of those that are blind, that the god of this world having blinded their eyes, they can't see. A deaf man the same as that which hath ears to hear, and yet he's deaf in the Spirit. He doesn't hear a thing. He doesn't see a thing in the Spirit. He doesn't see anything. He doesn't hear anything because he is deaf. He is deaf. And he doesn't say anything about God as to the glorifying of Christ. All of his conversation is gossip, backbiting, fault-finding, or that which is amusing in the world, because he is dumb and he cannot speak.
He is a dumb man. He is deaf. He is dumb. He is blind. Either one or all. So he cannot speak of anything but that which is natural, because in the spirit he is dumb. He hath no words to say. He hath no sounds from the heavenly world. So you think on these things, and as time and season affords, then you do something about it, and perhaps God will open your eyes, and as blind men see rarely in this world by miraculous, then you might see. As deaf men miraculously hear, very seldom, but they do, then you might hear. And as dumb men come to speak, though very seldom, yet you might speak. All depending. Okay, I'm going to let my little ones come around. I ask them to forgive me tonight. I know we get in a routine, you know, and we have a certain time that they come and a certain time to do it. If we don't, they go to sleep. And Brother Pike feels real bad because I love for him to be up here. But sometimes God will break our routine because he has plans and programs, and we have to learn to adjust to it, or we won't have the moving of the Spirit in the church. All right, little folks, you be patient with me and you forgive me because we're doing what we feel is the right thing. I know that Brother Pike has to deal with you because you're my little people and I dearly love you. But then on the other hand, you've got to realize that Brother Pike has some more little children out there. And they are spiritual little children. And I love them too. They're little bitty babies. Some of them not as big as you are. And they're little bitty babies, and they have to be held and they have to be cuddled. And in that they do, I have to love them, you know, and I have to work with them. Sometimes I see little spiritual babies, some of the women that come to talk with Sister Betty, and they are little bitty babies, you know. Now, they're not babies in as much as the body is not a baby, but the little Christ on the inside is so tiny, he has to be cared for, he'll just up and die. Through the changes of the seasons, people die, even grown-ups. And so it is with our little spiritual babies. Through the changes of the seasons, spiritual changes, they die unless they're cuddled and unless they're greatly cared for. So then you see, there's need for rebuke, there's need for reproof, there's need for correction, and it's grievous for the moment, it's chastisement. But afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. So then tonight, it's good just to be a Christian. Isn't that right? All right, I just heard something say to me something, so we're going to do something here. Let's sing together, can we? This time I'm going to just sing with you right here where I'm standing. Will I be okay? Changing the routine. A lot of people lose their balance when you change the routine. The seasons, they change. Brother Pike ain't much of a singer. You saw that tonight. I failed to even get the tune there for a minute or two, which I've never done concerning that song. But let's just sing together. Let's sing, first of all, "We'll Rule the Chariot." Can we? Just sing right to the audience, and I'll sing with you. We will roll the old chariot along. We will roll the old chariot along. We will roll the old chariot along. And we won't lag along behind. Can you sing with me now? If the brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. If my brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. If my brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. And we won't lag along behind. Come on now, let's roll the chariot. We're gonna roll the old, sing it with me, chariot along. We will roll the old chariot along we will rule. The old chariot along, and we won't lag along behind. If the devil's in the way, we will run right over him. If the devil's in the way, we will run right over him. If the devil's in the way, we will run right over him, and we won't lag along behind. Let's roll the chariot now. We will roll the old chariot along. We will roll the old chariot along. We will roll the old chariot along, and we won't lag along behind. Praise God. Now while we're singing, since we've got some babies in the audience too, why not let the little folks out there sing with these other little folks? Can we do that? All right. What's another good one we can sing? Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, heavenly breezes blow. Sing it. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, faces all aglow. Turn, turn from sin and sorrow, look up to the sky. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, you and I. Sing one more time. Y'all sing it with us. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, heavenly breezes blow. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, faces are all aglow. Look, turn from sin and sorrow, and look up to the sky. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, you and I. Praise God. You love the Lord? All right. Brother Fontaine, come up here and sing a song or two with these little ones. Can you do that? You know, we speak of a fountain being opened in the house of David. Christy, hand this right there to him. And I kind of go on at the brethren a little bit, being pleasant with them and rejoicing in the wonderful brotherhood. Sometimes I talk about Brother Fontaine, you know, and a fountain opened in the house of David. Not altogether because I'm just saying things, but because there are symbolic meanings. And of course, Brother Fontaine, he has to do with that. So then tonight, while he's singing, let the little folks sing with him. And you people out there, can you stand up and sing with the little folks tonight? Can you do that? You know the secret of entering into his rest, entering into the wonderful blessings of God and into the paradise of Christ, is to be able to get over the Jordan, to get over the intellectual, or that which is the Jordan. So tonight, while our brother sings, we're just going to sing with him. Can you lead us in a song, Brother Fontaine? Now don't get bashful. Brother Fontaine, he's a little timid.
Let's sing I Feel Good.
Okay, that's a good one right there. Every time I think about Jesus, I feel good.
Good.
Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? God is so wonderfully good.
Well, What about for the last song, Last Train? You want to sing that? Last train,
last one,
last train,
last one.
If you miss this train, you will
never get another one. Last train,
last one.
God. Let's give the little ones a hand, can we? While we're standing, let's sing this song, 165, in the Little Blue Hymnal. I know it's warm. I'm believing that this camp meeting is the camp meeting that we'll have some air in here. I know it's only 10 days away. I thought we would have it last camp meeting, but I was made to know that wasn't to be it, but I definitely believe that this will be it. I don't know exactly what we're going to do in the sense that it'll take a miracle, because today I learned that our air conditioning is three phase and we don't have a converter other than the converter that we have for our presses, so that means I've got to have a miracle within 10 days. But anyway, we'll have some cooling for sure. I just know we will. I want to say that I really appreciate every one of you that love the Lord and that are trying to do good. And I want to give double honor to you, ye that labor in the Lord. You're worthy of double honor. This is the Bible. It's not my sins. It's the Lord Jesus who said. You that, he said, give honor to all men, because all men have a job to do in the world, whether it's a natural job or whatever it might be. But then there are men that labor in the gospel. God said, give them double honor. So tonight, I want to give double honor to you, because you're certainly worthy of it according to what he said. And if he said it, well, I believe it. And I hope that you don't misunderstand when I speak of Brother Taylor's two or three chords. Because Brother Taylor has learned more than that, as far as I know by now. As he used to say, you know, he just had two or three chords, and he has had that for quite a while. It's just been recently that he's been able to develop a few more. But Brother Taylor does a lot of work. He does a lot of things, and he's certainly not responsible because I can't get it to tune to a song, even though it does make it hard sometimes when they don't know diminished chords or seventh chords or some of those chords that breaks in between, you know, the dimensional steps. But Brother Taylor has many times wrote the music, that is, put the notes to my song when I gave him the melody. And though the Lord has blessed me to write music, yet I don't have time anymore hardly to do that. And I really appreciate Brother Taylor in doing it. As a matter of fact, I appreciate Brother Ron Clyde and his wife. They're responsible for many arrangements of our songs that come out of the Book of the Lamb and our sheet music. And I also appreciate Brother Mitch and his wife, because they're the ones that made this coat of many colors right here. It really is a little coat. I wear it on the inside of the belt here, but it's really made to wear outside. It's really a little coat. And I certainly appreciate it, because there's people that do things for me that are very commendable. They do this with a regularity. I have some people that contribute freely. On many occasions, they contribute freely of their finance or of their labor. And they work with me very courteously, and they're very concerned. They love the Lord. They are worthy of praise and honor, and even double honor. So I thank God for that, and appreciate the fact that God is getting the job done. I'm failing in many ways, yet He is getting the job done. Let's sing this song together, 165. Oh, there's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals there to dwell with the immortals when they ring the golden bells for you and me. Sing it with me now. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? No, don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis a glory, hallelujah, jubilee in that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. We shall know no sin or sorrow in that haven of tomorrow, when our bark shall sail beyond the silver sea. We shall only know the blessing of our Father's sweet caressing when they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear those bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee in that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. When our days shall know their number, when in death we sweetly slumber, when the King commands the spirit to be free, nevermore with anguish laden we shall reach that lovely Aidan, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear
the angels singing. 'Tis that glory, hallelujah, jubilee, in that fall of sweet forever just beyond the shining river. When they ring the golden bells for you and me. Sing that chorus one more time. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Oh, don't you hear the angels singing? It's that glory, hallelujah, jubilee. For in that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, there they'll ring the golden bells for me. Let's just bow our heads together. I want to appreciate your kindness tonight. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the things that make for the coming of the Lord, the kingdom of the Lord, the glory of God. And brethren, listen, there really is a lovely Aden just over the river. It's just over the river. Now then you might say, Brother Pipe, what do you mean, just over the river? John said that those waters was people. And the Bible speaks of still waters. And God speaks of not just still waters, but he speaks of muddy waters. He speaks of clear waters. He speaks of waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. Speaks of the carnal mind. So then, God, when he speaks of getting over the Jordan, we have to get over the carnal mind or the intellectual mind of our human reasoning. And we have to come to that lovely Aden that God speaks about on the other side of the river. Well, there is another side of the river. And coming over on the other side of the river, God will receive us and let us into that lovely Aden. So the land that's just beyond the river, there is a lovely Aden. For people who have problems, people who need rest, people who have labored fervently for the cause of Jesus. So if you can get over your carnal mind tonight, you'll be over the muddy waters, over your muddy life, over your muddy way of doing. And you'll find yourself in the wonderful Eden of God, in the mind of Christ, and in that land where there's pure streams that are flowing, beautiful streams. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands up tonight. I want to pray for Mother tonight. Betty brought her down here for me to pray for. She must not be feeling all that good tonight. But we'll pray for my mother. You know, tonight I have faith in God and I believe. And my mother is one of the greatest reasons. I can remember back when I was just a boy. My mother had faith in God. But she wasn't serving God in the way that I know now that she should have or that I serve God. Yet she had not been brought up to serve God. She knew nothing of serving God to that extent. She did the best she knew at that time. And of course she had no encouragement. But she really believed. And I've seen times when
things would happen in the family and to relatives, that my mother would just cry and scream and beg God to have mercy. And I've seen God spare because of her pleading. Remember an uncle of mine, how that God spared his little baby when the doctors couldn't do anything over and over. When the little baby would go to die, just so often it would look like it was going to die. And she'd scream and beg God to spare it. And God would spare the little baby. As far as I know, the boy's grown up, living today. And that helped me get a little groundwork to find out that there was a God and to look in the right direction. Dad had a fear of God. Folks was Methodist, as far as I know, and he didn't have any real background of knowing what God was, but other than the fact that he believed there was a God. So this really helped me. And by that same faith, if my mother continues to love Jesus and believe in Jesus, trust in him and serve him to the best of her ability, she'll be in that lovely Aden one day with my dad, because I believe my dad is there. And if I continue to go as I'm going to do his will, then I'll also be in that lovely Aden. And though there's much that I could say about the Aden of God as to where it is and when you get there, and many of you wouldn't understand, but as to them that understand according to the natural mind, and them that would question my words, should I say them, I just say that if you can get over the river, you can get into that lovely land. And I say that concerning my mom tonight, that there's one thing that you should not do, she should not do, and we should not do, and that's have any fear whatsoever of dying or of death or of sickness or of poverty or of tragedy, either to us or our loved ones, to neither be afraid of sudden fear. Because when a person is a Christian, sickness and death hath no power over them. Though death might come for you, it hath no power over you. Death is only an escort. It is just a porter to open the door to eternity. You say, Brother Pike, you say that in such a mild manner, and you say that, you know, just to console folks. No, if I did that, beloved friend, I'd be a liar. I'd be a make-believer. I say that because that is absolutely a profound truth. I know that it's a truth because I've done been there. And I know what it is, and I know what awaits. I know where the path leads. I know the doorkeeper. And I know what you have to do to get over, and I know what you have to do to get back. So it is a true fact that over on the other side is my brother, my dad, loved ones and friends and neighbors and different ones that's gone on. Someday you'll be over there. Someday I'll be over there. Someday my wife will be over there. The others that serve God, that walk in the right way, if they'll keep the right frame of mind. But if you be suspicious and ugly, contrary in your mind, surmising, always trying to figure it out, you're going to find out that you're carnally minded, and to be carnally minded is death. You didn't make it. You didn't get over. You didn't walk in the Spirit. You fulfilled the desire of your own doings, even the flesh. So then, if you can believe, the Bible teaches that all of our life we were subject to bondage of fear. And that fear was the fear of death. It had us in bondage all the time. Kept us worried and disturbed all the time. But the Bible teaches that when Jesus conquered death, he conquered the enemy. And said, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. So then when we become acquainted with Jesus, or from the time that we became acquainted with Jesus, we learned that death had no power over us. Therefore, why should we fear anything that hath no power over us? How can death have power over you if you are eternally alive? Death is the end of life. And if death hath no power over you, then that means ye shall eternally live, or ye are eternally alive. It is not that you're going to wrestle with death, and if you make it through, you'll have eternal life. That's not what it is. It is not that you're going to stand before a great judge, and if he decides in the right way that you're going to get, then you're going to get eternal life. That's not it at all. It is that ye have already, because you believe God, He have already passed from death unto life, and your spirit, which had to meet death and become captive to death, has escaped death by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that the spirit that quickens you and that you feel in your body has your spirit in it, and death that attacks your body can never get to it. There's no way. It's protected by the angels. So then you've committed your spirit into his hands, even as Jesus did. And you are altogether protected by his inner seal, to where you're never spotted or blemished. You keep yourself all the days of your life, and the evil one never touches you at any time. So then that wonderful eternal life, when God is finished with humanity and humanity has finished the course and the multiplication and in the replenishing of the earth and the tutoring and the developing, all of a sudden those that are still alive will learn that Brother Pike is telling them the truth as to those that are here. And that you will suddenly be changed, and you'll find out that death never did have any power over you, the grave never did have any power over you, and that all the time you was eternally alive on the inside. And the only reason you didn't do like Enoch was because the faith was not exercised to that extent and to that ability. The miraculous, the restoration or whatever, is a very simple thing. So then let's lift our hands up and let's pray together. Now then I pray for my mother that God will heal her, and he's done many wonderful things for her. And I pray for mother, for the Lord to restore my mother's legs. I pray at night that he'll give her back her legs. To me, that's a simple thing for God. That he'll give my brother back his legs. And for and others that don't have their members, I pray that God will give them back, because it's so easy for God to do that. He that created heaven and earth and all the things therein. That's a simple thing for Jesus. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son Jesus, I ask you the forgiveness of my sins, Father. And I ask you the forgiveness of my precious mother's sins. And dear wonderful God, I ask you to look down from heaven and heal my mother. Oh God, restore these legs, Father, which is a very simple, easy thing for you to do. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. And dear wonderful God, I ask that by the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. May it be even so. Lord, you always hear prayer and you always answer prayer. Dear God, you never fail to do anything that we ask you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, heal tonight, save tonight, forgive tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more little chorus together. We sing this chorus so often here at the temple and sometimes under the tent. I praise God for my mother. I praise God for you. And I praise God because I know the life of my mother, and I know the future of my mother. And I know your life, and I know your future. I know your purpose on earth, unless the Lord sees fit to hide it from me. Whereas he could do that, he could do that any time. But he's been very gracious to me. The Bible teaches that we have an unction from the Holy One, that we should know all things. And though you don't know, unless God reveals it to you, and to some of you he does talk and reveal things, but you don't know unless I tell you, and I don't tell you, because it's better that you don't know. So, many things we do say, many things we don't say. But let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete, while I sit at your feet, O sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored
our souls in God's heaven of rest, that will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus we are safe evermore. Sing one more time. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, that will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm
going to ask Willie to come up here and dismiss us, if he will, tonight. Something has taken place. Something great, marvelous, and outstanding has taken place. Some saw, some did not see. Some understood as to being vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind when they really didn't understand. Some think that they know something when they don't know something that they ought to know, as the Bible says. But there are some that are walking with God and they do see. Whether little or whether much, they do see. It is very definite that they do see. And they do understand. And for those that can see, then may the Lord bless you and add to your treasures. For no man can receive anything save it be given him of God. And this treasure, heavenly treasure, is in earthen vessels. So your vessel being earthly, you have received some treasures. And add more treasures. As you come, add more treasures. You know, it's so lovely to be able to sit down with a brother. And he says to you, come and let's look at the jewels. And he opens up his treasure chest and he says, now look at this diamond. This diamond is filled with fire. This is an expensive one. Look at this pearl of great price. Look at this beautiful jewel, this beautiful ruby. I received all of these from heaven. These are in my hope chest. As a wealthy man with his jewels of splendor, so then are ye God's jewels of splendor. And he said, I'll remember you when I come to make up my jewels. But ye also have jewels of splendor, and even those that you win to God shall be jewels in your crown, even your crown of life that will be an eternal life that will last throughout eternity. So, you have jewels of splendor. You have a crown of life. You have an eternal crown of life. And tonight you have within your hope chest jewels of splendor of the wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the Son of God. So a lot of times you like to just take one out and say, hey, look here. And you sit down and you look at it together. Some are rich, some are poor. Some are rich, some are very rich. Some are exceedingly rich, as Paul said, even to the abundance of the revelation of the treasures from heaven. Some are abundantly rich. So then remember that. As you look at these jewels and exchange conversation to show one to another, then remember that. Tonight, as Willie comes to pray for you, think these things over. For the coming of the Lord is getting closer and closer. This coming camp meeting has great significance. If you haven't done anything for God, now's the time to do it. If you haven't given yourself to Christ, now's the time to do it. You need to do it.